Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Joni Cannell, your host for Real Life Lessons. Our topic today is Real Immigration Solutions. And our leading lady today is Grace Zimmerman, an attorney with Fragman Law Firm. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning, Joni. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's definitely my pleasure. I want to say good morning to our listeners, too, because we have got a juicy show for you today. I mean, immigration. What could be a hotter topic, right? Well, Grace is a true expert on immigration. She's been an immigration lawyer for many years. I will spare her the details, you guys, the details on how many years, but I've known her for a long time. And she's worked with the full gamut of clients, from individuals to small domestic entities to large multinational corporations. And she's worked with people in all sorts of industry, like scientists, engineers, architects, you can name them all here, investors, athletes, artists, investors, and, you know, just plain old business people, too. But Grace has stories and expert opinions, some of which she'll share with you today, that stem from her paid work as well as her pro bono work. So, listeners, I won't make you wait any longer. Grace, let's start out by hearing a little bit about you. So how did you decide to practice immigration law, and how did you get to where you are now?
Well, I had studied international relations at University of California, Davis, and when I graduated, I wanted to use my ability to speak Spanish. As part of the program in international relations, we were encouraged to learn a second language, and so I became fluent in Spanish. And so first and foremost, I really wanted to get a job where I could use my Spanish. And at the time, the amnesty program, which was signed into law by President Reagan, came into effect. And so I got a job working at Catholic Charities here in San Diego, and they needed caseworkers who could speak Spanish. So really it was my interest in finding a job where I could use Spanish that led me to immigration. I worked for Catholic Charities for 3 years on the amnesty immigration, and then realized that I was interested in law. So, and primarily because I saw that the lawyers were the people where there were when there were problems with cases, or if the policy that was being implemented by the government wasn't clear, it was the lawyers who were able to make changes and negotiate changes really with the government on behalf of clients. So I thought that would be really interesting. So then I went to law school, and upon graduation, I started working in immigration law and have been doing so ever since. Initially, I worked for a variety of small practitioners. Then I joined a firm here in San Diego where I focused primarily on business immigration. So I was working with companies to find visa solutions for their employees, as well as to help them obtain permanent residency. And I worked in this firm for about 10 years. I became partner, and then had kids and needed to find more flexibility in my schedule. So I went out on my own, where I worked for about 12 years in a practice that was more focused on individuals rather than companies, although I did still work with companies. And then I recently rejoined the firm of Fragman, which handles cases immigration worldwide, actually. So it's an amazing network of people and offices in the United States and elsewhere.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Like a very varied path here, you know, working in a lot of different ways, you know, at firms, on your own, with individuals and big companies. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. But I know our listeners are just on the edge of their seats because they want to hear a little bit about immigration. I mean, here we have an expert on our show this morning. And, you know, I was just even looking at the news this morning. I mean, the top front page headlines about immigration slowing down and people going to desperate measures to come in illegally, you know, all sorts of things going on. So, Grace, you're working in the trenches, so to speak. You know, you're right there dealing with issues. Can you shed some light on what's going on?
Well, I think what we're hearing about a lot right now in the news is about the border wall and about the migrants who have come up from Central America and who are waiting to be processed into the United States. But I do believe, and I was listening to the radio on the way in, that in fact illegal immigration is down from other years. So really what we have is sort of a bottleneck at the border where we don't have enough people to process the individuals who are waiting on the other side of the border to come into the United States. These are individuals who are seeking, for the most part, asylum here in the United States because they are afraid of persecution in their country of origin, which is, you know, either, for the most part, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. So on the one hand, we have what's in the news every day, which is really related to these immigrants coming, or refugees coming up from Central America. But what I deal with primarily on a day-to-day basis is obtaining, like I said, work visas for individuals who are coming either to work here in the United States because they've invested in a company here in the United States, or professionals who are coming to work for companies here in the U.S. And as far as my day-to-day practice, really what I've seen in terms of a change is not so much a change in the law, but more a change in the way the government is currently interpreting the law. And so this is creating a lot more, I would say, a lot more work and for us as practitioners on a daily basis, and requiring us to re-strategize in new ways, methods of presenting a case to the government. Because in the past, for example, one of the kinds of cases that we do regularly is an H-1B visa, which is a visa which is used by companies to employ professionals in specialty occupations. And in the past, really all we've had to do is explain what the job is. So somebody's an engineer, and so we explain the details of that job, and then we explain how the person is qualified. They have a degree in computer science, for example, or a master's degree in computer science. And that was sufficient to prove eligibility for an H-1B. But now really what we're seeing is requests by the government, once we file a case, for additional documentation, really proving all aspects of what the company does, how much business they have. Really, these cases have become an entirely new type of case, really, where we're not only presenting documentation and proof of what the job is, but also proving that the company really exists and that they have a lot of work and that they have a need for this employee, which is really not what the law requires.
Wow, so this must be costing your clients a lot more money.
It is costing our clients more money, as that's exactly true. It's costing our clients more money, and it's also taking us much longer to prepare a case, which used to be sort of a pretty pro forma case, is now becoming a much more detailed kind of presentation to the government. So, yes, it's required us to sort of refocus our efforts, and which is challenging.
I can imagine. So, I mean, what kind of things have you done to solve these kind of issues?
Well, we're working with our clients to have more documentation, again, about what they do and the nature of their work. So we have that information available up front. We also make sure that our clients know that we're in operating in a new environment, and unfortunately what they might have been used to in terms of getting a case approved and the information they needed to provide us to subsequently present to the government is now a lot more than what we had to do in the past. So really it's a lot of communicating with our clients, making sure that they understand what the new playing field is like, and making sure that their expectations are updated, both in terms of what's required, the information and cost involved with processing one of these kinds of cases, as well as, you know, processing times and whether or not cases are might take longer than they had in the past.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Well, you know, I want to hear another aspect of this work, though, because I know you do some pro bono work as well. And here we are right in San Diego, a border town. And I'm wondering, have you been down there and talked to some of these immigrants who are there seeking asylum, and, you know, what experience have you had with that?
Yeah, we have. I mean, that's one of the things that I really enjoy about working for a firm, is that we definitely have the opportunity and are encouraged to engage in pro bono work. So one of the projects that I've been working on, as well as the other attorneys in the firm, is we help sort of screen cases for individuals, well, unaccompanied minors who have traveled up from the from Central America to the United States, to help determine what kind of remedies they might have here in the U.S. And some of these kids, you know, many of them, well, they're traveling alone from Central America, and they're coming here because either they're joining family that's already been here, or they have no family left in Central America. They were left in the care of a friend or a relative, and it's not safe for them to stay there anymore. So they are coming up here to the United States, and many of them, you know, truly are, you know, they're afraid of the gang violence. And they're coming here to the United States to seek a better life. It's really pretty tragic. We interviewed children who were separated from their parents before that policy was changed. And it was heartbreaking to see, you know, 11-year-old, 10-year-old kids who had been separated from their parents at the border and had no idea when they would be reunited with them. That was really a terrible thing to see.
Well, that's pretty unimaginable to most of us to think about that, how horrifying that would be as a parent, but also just from the children's perspective. I mean, wow, just to be on your own there at that age.
It's amazing. I mean, these kids are very resilient. They, mm-hmm. you know, they are, many of them, were dropped across the border and told just to walk until you find a Border Patrol agent. Pretty amazing, tough kids. And really they're coming here because they want to go to Disneyland, but because they are afraid, you know, they can't exist safely in their home country. So it's heartbreaking.
Wow. So we're seeing some of the highs and lows of humanity here on all these different ends. And, you know, one thing that I think we forget so often is that kids are amazingly resilient and adaptable. I mean, that's kind of how they've survived for so long to become adults. It is inspiring, at least, to hear that. So, you know, some of our listeners may want to contact you after our show. How would you like our listeners to contact you?
Well, they can certainly contact me via my email, which is gzimmerman@fragaman.com, or they can give me a ring. My telephone number is 858-793-1600.
Great. And, you know, to our listeners, if you didn't catch Grace's contact details, we'll have her information listed on our show notes, so you can always get them there. Because, I mean, you've heard her story. She does a variety of stuff on immigration, and has a lot to share. And speaking of which, I want to turn now to our, you know, sort of our topic really of real life lessons here. You know, it's important to be resilient, empowered, authentic, and limber to succeed no matter what you do. And here you are talking about these incredible stories that are life-changing, right? I mean, the immigration work that you do really is a life-changing type of work there. And let's talk about some of the things that you have to do. I mean, first of all, flexibility. I would say you work with different clients on different teams of attorneys, with different judges, all sorts of different things. How do you flex to adapt to all these different situations?
Well, I think it's really important to be to remember to stay calm and steady. I think those are the most important characteristics that I find kind of get me through my day. I mean, I have colleagues in my office, and then I work with paralegals and administrative assistants. But then also I work with our clients who are, you know, representatives of large companies and small companies, as well as their foreign nationals who will be coming to work for them in different capacities. And then working with U.S. citizens or legal permanent residents who are interested in immigrating their families. So everybody, like as you said, there's a lot at stake in these cases. There are people's lives and livelihoods, and sometimes tensions run high, and I think it's important just to remain calm and steady every day. I mean, I think that's the most important thing, especially in times.
Yeah.
I was just going to say when we have when we're in an era where things are, when the law or the cases that we see, our cases are being adjudicated in new and different ways that don't necessarily line up with the law or the way that we have seen the law or the way the law has been interpreted in the past. So all of a sudden we're having to come up with new strategies, and again, just sort of being calm and looking at what needs to be done and how we can best move forward is something that I think is really important to be able to do.
You know, yeah, I was really thinking about that hard with that response because, you know, I worked in Silicon Valley for many years, and just remembering, maybe even today, all over the place, you know, in the different tech companies especially, people just zigzag back and forth. You know, one thing changes, all of a sudden we're like running in this direction, something else changes, we're running in that direction. And just the idea of being calm and steady and saying, you know, let's figure this out instead of just jumping and, you know, reacting to it. Sounds like a really good piece of advice for people to think about. It's so easy to just be so reactive. Well, you know, you also mentioned something else. We've been talking about these issues as being life-altering situations. Now, how do you handle it when one of your cases doesn't go well?
Right. That's the worst thing that, you know, obviously that happens for any professional when things don't go the way they want, or when you have bad news to deliver to a client. And I think you have, you know, that impacts you both personally, and then it also impacts you, obviously, because you have to provide or give bad news to a client and come up with a new strategy. So I think, I mean, I know hopefully we don't have many of these situations in our professional lives, but when they do come up, it's important not to allow your upset to impact your ability to move forward. I think it's just important to maybe you go home, you know, get a good night's sleep, and then come back the next day and be able to present again calmly to your client strategies, figuring out what are the best strategies of the options you have, which is the best one, or which how the different options work, and come up with a strategy for moving forward. Because I think in all cases, you're going to have to move forward. So it's just a matter of figuring out the best way to do that. And not to take it so personally that you can't, that it sort of blocks you from coming up with a good strategy for moving forward.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a lot to calm yourself down to for the benefit of the clients. But, you know, we also talk about a resiliency factor here in terms of taking care of ourselves and keeping the balance. And this is high-pressure work. I mean, right, lawyers tend to work crazy hours and have all this. And you were talking a little bit about a time when you wanted more flexibility to raise your family and all that. So, I mean, generally, what are some of your strategies for self-care in all of this?
Well, I think we all know that it's so important to exercise daily, and that's mm-hmm. something that I make my best effort at doing on a regular basis. I know as for a fact that when I've exercised, I come into the I prefer to exercise in the morning. I think it gets my blood flowing and my brain going, and so I make an effort to do that exercise in the morning before I come to work, and I know when I do, I feel better all day. So that's something I really, really try to do. It's not always possible, but I make my best effort.
Wow. Yeah, that's inspiring. I'm so not an early morning person, but I hear you. It does get your blood flowing, and yeah, maybe it helps you remain calm all day. I mean, I think that would, yeah.
And I think, I mean, maybe I know there are lots of people who are not morning people, and so if it works out that you can do it in the evening, then fine, or in the mm-hmm. middle of the day for lunch. But I think that that's just so important. And especially in my job, we go out and meet with clients and things of that nature, there's a lot of time spent in front of a computer. So I do think it's important to make some, at least half an hour
mm-hmm.
of time.
Okay, yeah. A New Year's resolutions time, folks.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, absolutely. All right, so I have a couple other questions for you. I mean, you know, we talk about authenticity in the real life lessons here, and, you know, you play many roles as an attorney, and, you know, it's also always interesting to hear, especially from women lawyers, because sometimes we think of so many aggressive roles for attorneys and all that. So how are you able to bring your authentic self to work?
Well, I think I really enjoy working with people, and I think that that's something that you need to be able to do well if you're an attorney, because, again, we work with so many different kinds of people in our day. I mean, we have colleagues and people who we supervise and all different kinds of clients. So I think that enjoying working with people and working well with people is very important, as well as being able to communicate clearly with all of the people that you work with. And I don't,
yes.
It's funny because I don't think that being necessarily, I know that it's a stereotype that, you know, to be a good attorney, you have to be really aggressive. And I don't think that that's the truth, because, again, I mean, we need to work. Sometimes if you're overly aggressive when you're dealing with a government representative, you're really going to get nowhere. So I don't think that, again, I think you need to be able to work well with people. You need to be able to hold the line when necessary, but I think also you don't want to many times be overly aggressive.
I'm really glad you brought that up. Because, I mean, we do have these stereotypes, right? And so I'm, like, spitting them out there going, hey, you know, this is what we think of lawyers as. And you're going, well, actually, you know, the best strategy isn't always to be that way. And I can imagine you certainly don't want to be aggressive with your clients, right? I mean, you want to be more caring and attentive to them as well. But what I heard there was firm, not necessarily aggressive. You want to be firm to hold the line and advocate, but not necessarily go over the top there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'm
sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I would just sort of recap there on what I thought, but did you have something else to add?
Oh, no.
Okay, well, then I have one more question, because something I've been curious about, and I admire you a great deal for this, and that is starting up your own practice. I mean, a lot of people want to go out there and do this kind of thing. A lot of lawyers want to start their own practice, or, you know, business people want to start their own, you know, business or whatever it is. And we often just I don't know, there's something stopping us from doing it. But you did it, and you had your own practice for 12 years, you said. So how did you feel empowered to go out there and make that happen?
Well, I felt like I was confident in my knowledge base in terms of the work that I was going to do. So I didn't feel like I was, you know, a brand new attorney learning both immigration and then also learning how to run a business. So I think that was helpful. I think it's important to, you know, be as close to an expert or, you know, to definitely be proficient in whatever it is you're going to do when you open your own office or business. So I think that was very helpful. I think I was just also motivated. I had seen, having had worked in a larger firm, maybe an opening for or a space where you could provide maybe some additional extra client services that you might not have been able to provide in a larger firm, and I thought that I really wanted to be in a position where I could work, you know, more closely with my clients. So I think I had seen sort of working in a larger firm, I had seen where I could fit a niche for myself, and I think that was helpful as well. But I think you want to have, and I also see many of my clients come here to the United States and invest in new companies, and sometimes they have a very clear idea of what they're going to do, and sometimes they ask me, what do you think I should do? And I always say, you know, like what you're going to do. I think it's really important to feel passionate about the business that you're going to open, because you're going to be doing it, you know, pretty close to 24/7, if not 24/7.
Yeah, you know, that's another reason why some people don't do it, because when you say you're doing it 24/7, that's a big commitment.
Mm-hmm. Right? It is a big commitment. So, I exaggerate a little bit, because I did want to have I went out on my own because I did want to have more flexibility, but I think that so maybe it's not exactly 24/7, but it's a lot of time. But it's your own time, and you can organize that more easily. Sometimes I think you do have more flexibility, for sure, working by yourself.
Okay, so I'm sort of interpreting here that you have more flexibility to do things when you want to, but you also have more responsibility. Ultimately, I mean, you're the one that's responsible for everything, so that you have to make it work.
Definitely. I mean, yes, you're going to learn, you know, if you're not a finance person, you're going to learn it, and you have to do the finance, the billing, the, you know, licensing, all kinds of things that you might not have imagined would be necessary. But it was definitely interesting for me when we started with a new administration and really a shift in the way the law was being adjudicated in terms of immigration, or being interpreted, excuse me, I thought that it was, I mean, I decided to go back to a firm and have really enjoyed being able to work daily with colleagues who sort of discussing, bouncing off ideas and strategies about how to move forward. So I think it's important, if you do go out on your own, to make sure you have some kind of network where you can, you know, truly bounce ideas off of people, have someone who you can talk about issues that come up and how to best handle them, because sometimes you don't always, it's good to have someone else to discuss options and strategies with.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. That's true for everyone in all areas here. So we're running out of time, but one of the themes that I've heard that I think our listeners really need to pay attention to is that throughout this entire interview, Grace has talked about strategy, about keeping calm and steady and having a strategy. And so often today we are skipping that step. We're in such a rush, we just react. We click on this or react to a tweet or something like that, rather than actually thinking it through. So that's a good piece of advice from our immigration attorney today. It's slow down and take time to have a strategy. And I'd like to say, well, that's our show for today. And thank you to Grace Zimmerman for being our leading lady today. Thanks, Grace.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, good. And special thanks to all our listeners. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m. I'm Joni Cannell, host of Real Life Lessons. Thank you for listening, and remember, real women are resilient, empowered, authentic, and limber.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive, and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.